Explanation of the surah. وَالْمُرْسَلَاتِ عُرْفَ. The winds, when their reins are let loose, bear witness. The word mursalat means those which are let loose. Here it is used to signify winds. Although some people interpret it to signify angels, attributes mentioned later are inappropriate to describe angels. The basis of this erroneous interpretation is that an oath is sworn here, and it is generally believed that oaths are always sworn by sacred entities. I have pointed out at various places in this tafsir that most oaths in the Quran are meant to substantiate a claim. The oath sworn in this verse is no different. Just as in Surah Zariyat, oaths have been sworn by winds to substantiate reward and punishment, this oath has also been sworn to substantiate that the punishment of this world and of the next is certain to come if the disbelievers persist in denying the truth. The word urf comes for a horse's mane which hangs from the forehead. It is very commonly used in this meaning. Imrul Qais has said, نَمْشِ بِعَرَافِ الْجَيَّادِ وَأَكُفُّنَا إِذَا نَحْنُ قُمْنَا عَنْ شَوَائِنْ مُزَهَّبِ. When we would get up after eating half-good food of the prey, we would wipe our hands from the manes of horses. A horse's mane is used both to stop it and to give it a signal to cut loose. In this verse, winds are compared to horses, and letting them loose signifies letting loose their mane. This portrayal is very subtle. The purpose is to highlight the fact that winds cannot act independently and cannot do something of their own accord. They are in God's control. Whenever He wants, He stops them, and whenever He wants, He lets them loose. In Surah Hud, it is said, مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاسِيَتِهَا. Or, there is not a living creature on the earth whose forelock is not in his hands. Surah number 11, verse 56. فَالْعَاسِفَاتِ عَصْفًا. The word عَصْفٌ means to blow all over in an uncontrolled manner. In Surah Yunus it is said, حَتَّى إِذَا كُنْتُمْ فِي الْفُلْكِ وَجَرَيْنَا بِهِمْ بِرِيحٍ طَيِّبَةٍ فَفَرِحُوا بِهَا جَاءَتْ حَرِيحٌ عَاصِفٌ وَجَاءَهُمُ الْمَوْجُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Or, until when you are on the ships and they set sail, rejoicing in a favorable wind, suddenly a raging tempest overtakes them and waves embrace them from all sides. Surah number 10, verse 22. This is the second phase in which, after being let loose, winds blow in an unrestrained manner. This obviously refers to tempestuous winds which become a torment and destroy complete nations. The Quran has recorded the history of their multifarious effects, and even today one can observe the devastation they cause. وَالنَّاشِرَاتِ نَشْرًا. And these winds which scatter the clouds. The word nashrun means to scatter, to sprinkle, to bring forth, and to cause to grow. It is used in all these meanings in the Quran. Here, it refers to winds which bring forth clouds beneficial to man because there are various aspects of nashrun found in these winds. They bring forth clouds and then scatter them, then sprinkle God's mercy, and then cause vegetation to grow, and thereby make the earth luxuriant. At another place in the Quran, it is said, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا قَنَتُوا وَيَنْشُرُ رَحْمَتَهُ. Or, and it is He who sends down the rain after people have lost all hope and spreads His mercy. Surah number 42, verse 28. As indicated earlier, the previous oath relates to tempestuous winds, while this one relates to winds which bring clouds of mercy on which is dependent the existence and nourishment of various life forms. An important linguistic principle that needs to be kept in consideration here is that coordinating the word al-asifat by the particle fa to the word al-mursalat signifies sequential order. This verse is coordinated with the previous one by the word wa, which shows that it does not refer to a third phase in the sequence. It rather refers to an independent new category of winds. فَالْفَارِقَاتِ فَرْقًا. then settle affairs separately. What is said here is no different to what is said in Surah Zariyat by the words فَالْمُقَسِّمَاتِ أَمْرًا, which refers to the fact that these winds distinguish between affairs. At times they bring forth clouds, and at times have them blown away. At one place they cause abundant rain from these clouds, and leave another place dry and desolate. This bears testimony to the fact that they are not independent in their actions. They are subservient to some superior power. Since this distinction made by winds occurs after they scatter clouds, the coordinated particle is far. فَالْمُلْقِيَاتِ ذِكْرًا, then instill a reminder. The implication is that besides rain, the winds also instill a reminder in people. The Quran at various places has mentioned several things of which rain is instrumental in reminding, and I have explained these aspects. Here, I would like to allude to a few prominent features. A. With respect to the harmony between the sky and the earth, rain reminds us of God's Tawheed and of showing gratitude to Him. B. The majesty of God's providence found in rain reminds us of our accountability to God. C. By enlivening dead and desolate pieces of land, rain reminds us of raising the dead to life in the hereafter. D. By bringing mercy to some and misery to some, rain reminds us of God's absolute authority and His reward and punishment. عُذْرًا أَوْ نُذْرًا, to leave no justification for some or to inform some. Mentioned in this verse is the objective of the various effects of winds which are observed by every person. The implication of the particle أَوْ is that no justification is left for people who want to remain inebriated with indifference, while those who want to be reminded are afforded an opportunity to be reminded. In Surah Araf, a remark of a group of the righteous is mentioned which throws light on what is stated in this verse. وَإِذَا قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تُعِزُونَ قَوْمًا اللَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا قَالُوا مَعِذْرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. When a group among them asked, what is the use of counseling the people whom God will destroy or sternly punish? They replied, so that we may be free from blame in the sight of your Lord, and also that they may fear. Surah number 7, verse 164. The implication of the above verse is that if these people pay no heed to the counsel of the righteous, then at least the latter will have discharged their duty. It is now up to the people to accept or reject it, and they are left with no excuse which they can present on the day of judgment. If, on the other hand, these people, after paying heed to the counsel of the righteous, are instilled with God's fear, then this was precisely what was intended. It will bring blessings to both. إِنَّمَا تُعَدُونَ لَوَاكِرَ, all these bear witness that indeed the promise which is being made with you is certain to be fulfilled. This is the complement of all oaths mentioned earlier. The word tu'adun is general and includes both promises and threats. Since this surah is primarily meant to warn the disbelievers, as indicated earlier, the element of threat dominates this word here. The implication is that the torment and punishment with which people are being threatened is certain to come, and the disbelievers are bound to face it. The various aspects through which the effects produced by winds bear witness to the hereafter and the punishment that will take place on that day are mentioned in previous surahs. Readers can look up the tafsir of Surah Zariyat for details. Here it would suffice to keep in mind that the Almighty has warned the rejected of punishment and of the hereafter by directing their attention to the effects of winds. They should not be proud of their power and grandeur. If God wants to punish people, He does not require much effort. The very rain which brings life to people can cause devastation to them in no time. Many a nation has been totally ravaged by the Almighty through these winds. فَإِذَا النُّجُومُ طُمِسَتْ وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُصِفَتْ. So when the stars are dimmed, the sky is cleft asunder, the mountains crumble into dust. Depicted in these verses is the upheaval of the Day of Judgment. On that day, every object of this universe, which appears very grand and great, immortal and abiding, firm and solid, will be wrecked. Just as one has seen tempestuous winds destroy huge cities, castles and palaces, similarly on that day such a cataclysm will take place that stars will vanish into nothingness, the sky will be cleft asunder, and the mountains will crumble into dust. The word tamasa means to erase something and to obliterate something. In Surah Nisa, a verse reads, مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَطْمِسَ وُجُوهًا فَنَرُدَّاهَا عَلَىٰ أَدْبَارِهَا. Or, before we obliterate faces and turn them backwards. Surah number 4, verse 47. At other places the words are, إِذَا النُّجُومُ انْكَدَرَتْ. Surah number 81, verse 2. And, وَإِذَا الْكَوَاكِبُ انْتَثَرَتْ. Surah number 82, verse 2. The implication of the words وَإِذَا السَّمَاءُ فُرِجَتْ is that the sky which has no fissures and crevices and is absolutely sound and solid will be cleft asunder on the day of judgment. At another place, the words are وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا, or and the sky is flung open and therein appear gates all over. Surah number 78, verse 19. Similarly, in Surah Infitar, the words are إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انْفَطَرَتْ, or when the sky is rent asunder. Surah number 82, verse 1. The word نَسْفٌ in the verse وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ نُسِفَتْ means to crush to pieces or to mash and to scatter. This word has been used at a number of places in the Quran. For example, it is said, وَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِكَ الَّذِي ذَلْتَ عَلَيْهِ عَاكِفًا لَنُحَرِّقَنَّهُ ثُمَّ لَنَنْسِفَنَّهُ فِي الْيَمِّ نَسْفًا. Or, behold this idol which you have served with such devotion, we will burn it to ashes and scatter them all over the sea. Surah number 20, verse 97. The objection raised by the rejectors of the Day of Judgment has been replied to by the Quran in the following words, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْجِبَالِ فَقُلْ يَنْسِفُهَا رَبِّي نَسْفًا فَيَذَرُوهَا قَاعًا صَفْصَفًا. Or, and they ask you about the mountains. Tell them, my Lord will crush them to fine dust and leave the earth absolutely clean. Surah number 20, verses 105 and 106. At some other places it is said that on the day of judgment the mountains will be reduced to sand dunes and will appear like a mirage. In the previous two verses, the fate the sky will meet is described. In this verse, what will happen to the earth is depicted. Among the objects of the earth, the mountains are the most grand and sturdy. Their expanse is also matchless. Consequently, when the disbelievers would make fun of the day of judgment, they would ask, what would become of the mountains? Will they also be destroyed? Here, by portraying the fate of the mountains, it is as if the fate the whole earth will meet is depicted. When such gigantic structures as mountains, which people regard as eternal, will be destroyed, there is no need to mention what will happen to other things of the earth.